This is the last Sunday of this year, according to our calendar. And we use the Gregorian calendar, which is also called the Christian calendar. And of course, the purpose of this calendar is to divide history into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. But they missed it, of course, that it was supposed to begin with the birth date of Jesus Christ that year. They missed it about 4 years. But I don't think it really matters, because God doesn't go by our time. He goes by His time. And He has His own calendar. I'm going to show you that today. But you know what's so interesting is that I hear people say nearly every year, I've said it, but you know, I'll be glad when this year's over. Yeah, well, it doesn't work that way. And I'll help you a little bit to see today how it really does work. But it's just interesting. But it is how we run our lives. It's by this calendar. And this is the last year, according to our calendar, last Sunday in this year. And what I wanted to do was have communion together. We haven't had a corporate communion in years that I can recall. I constantly say that, you know, it's not when I say to do it, it's when you decide to do it. But it's available to us, of course, every week here. But I wanted to have a corporate, a family, as it were, a household communion with us as a house of God. And I wanted to have it with you. I wanted to have it with you and you with me, and all of us have it together. And I want to do some teaching. So what my plan is today is to do a teaching on communion and hopefully share with you some thoughts about it that maybe you've never had before, maybe seen before. How I personally have communion by myself in my personal times. And maybe you can have some enlightenment as well. And I really think that it's going to be a very beneficial time for you. I think it will be. I think you'll see some things, make them applicable into your personal times with the Lord as well. So let's read our passage that will be in most of the day. I think there's one other scripture, one other passage that we'll turn to. And it's in Luke. And we, of course, have done this passage and studied it more in depth than I will today. But here it is, Luke chapter 19 and verse 20. It says here, and he, that of course would be Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is, and that's my title, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's the first part of communion. It's coming into a remembrance so that we can now come into the second part of communion. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, the season and the time of this was what we would call our Easter season. It's springtime. This is when this took place and this happened. What Jesus did was initiate, put in, replace the old covenant with the new covenant. The aspect of the old covenant with what we do and we're going to do today with communion was called Passover. So it's the fulfillment of Passover, what we're going to be doing today. Well, the Passover was instituted actually in Egypt. I'll show you that in a moment. It was instituted in Egypt at the 10th plague that God plagued upon Egypt to set his people free. He plagued them with the 10th plague, and I'll read some of the instructions that he gave them in a moment. But he plagued them to set his people, his children, free from the bondages of darkness and slavery. Now, there is so much there that we can draw from. But see, the fulfillment of that is for you and I to be set free from the bondages of hell, the bondages of darkness. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son because of this covenant, because of what we're going to be experiencing today with the bread and the juice, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been delivered because of this covenant. But what another thing, you know, is that we have a new life. It's a new covenant. So we have a new way of living. We're not under the bondages anymore of the law of Moses. You don't have to do animal sacrifices. You don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. Now, I know that shocks some of you, but that's the old covenant. Jesus says, if you just do this one, everything else hangs on it. if you can just get that, those two, you know, the loving the Lord your God and loving people, if you can get that right, everything else will take care of itself. So, you know, and he gave us a new commandment, but I'm not going to get into all that. That's not my point. But my point is that we don't have to do the dietary laws. You know, we can eat anything. Hallelujah. Right. we're not, but neither are we in bondage to that law. You know, we're set free from all of that. So we're not only set free from hell and delivered into the kingdom of God, but we're also set free from the bondages of the law, and we're set free and to live in a life that's abundant. So there's a lot there. But one of the main things that I want you to note in our time of covenant and communion is that it was at the identical time that Moses initiated the Passover, or the old covenant is the same identical time at that time of the year. And I just want to talk about that just a second. I want to read when this actually happened from the book of Exodus, when it took place in Exodus chapter 12, where God initiates and brings forth his covenant. So let's read that. Exodus 12, verses 1 through 3 says this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. So it was established and initiated in Egypt that this covenant was. It was initiated there. This month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Now, this is the month of Nisan, and it's the end of March and April. That's the time of the year it is. What I want you to see is God's calendar. He doesn't go by our calendar. He's got his own calendar. And it's at the time of the year when it's spring. It's at the time of the year when there's newness, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I just want you to know when God's year begins. So he says that at the first month of your year, tell the whole community of Israel that on the earth, that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household, one for each household. So the individual would go out into the flocks and they would acquire a lamb or a goat, or if you wanted a little kid, if you wanted to look at that, it's in verse 5 of the same chapter to make sure that I'm on track here. But one of these little lambs, and they would go get it, and they would bring it into the household on the 10th day of the month. And that little animal would become like a pet into the household, and they would keep it for 4 days until the 14th day. On the 14th day, they would slaughter it in a specific way. And then they would butcher it in a specific way. And then they would cook it and prepare it, roast it in a specific way. And then they would eat it in the household. This is what they would do. They would have this in their own household. And they would do it. Now, what I wished is that our year was like that as well. I wished we began at springtime. I wished our years began at springtime. It's the time of the year when everything is refreshed. You know, the dogwoods are blooming and the lilies are coming out of the ground and the birds are mating up and having little babies and the fish are spawning. And it's just an amazing time when you think about it. And the whole globe, the whole planet is engulfed in this newness of lifetime. And this is the time of the year when God decided to bring his lamb, the Lamb of God, to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered. He was kept. He was kept for a specific time, for a purpose, just this purpose. He was kept, and then he was butchered. He was slaughtered on the cross of Christ at a specific time. And then he's taken and prepared in such a way that now God's household eats him in communion. We partake of his body and his blood. And we come into covenant with him. He was prepared specifically for the household of God, for the church, for God's house. Now, in a church, in our church, in any church, there are numbers of households, individual households. I have a household, you have a household. But when we come together, we're still a family. We're still the family of God. And so I think it's a major point that you learn today that you can have communion in your home or wherever you go. And I'll go ahead and say it here. I'll probably say it again. But in the book of Acts, we read where they were from house to house daily. What does that mean? They were breaking bread in fellowship. What does that mean? They were going houses all day long having communion. I mean, they were having it several times a day. So you don't have to have it at church. It's not a religious thing. That's what I'm wanting you to see. This is a God thing. It is a relationship thing. It connects us with God. And this is one of the primary points that I want us to see. So we're a household, a church, a family of Christ, a body of Christ that has come together to eat the Lamb of God. And that's what we're going to be looking at. So I want us to break this down a little bit. I want to exegete it somewhat. It should be a whole series, but I'm going to try to get it in to the end of this one time here, and hopefully in time so that we can all partake of it. And at the end of our time today, what I want to do is we want to serve it to you. There'll be servants come as they play a song in the back in case I forget to say something about this. They'll be playing the song while they're giving it out to you. And I want you to hold it until we can all partake of it together and I can lead you through it. Okay? So let's break it down a little bit. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, it says this. And he took bread, gave thanks. He took the bread and he gave thanks for the bread. Now, why would Jesus be giving thanks? What would he be giving thanks for? Why would he be giving thanks? I mean, you know, think about this time. He's in this time tomorrow. He is dead and in the grave, and he knows it. Why would he be giving thanks? See, one of the first things that Jesus did when he taught his disciples and he's teaching us and he had communion himself was he gave thanks. The first thing that we should do whenever we have communion is give thanks. Now, I know we've been talking about Thanksgiving a lot since Thanksgiving. And every week, you know, I mention this. There should be something that we can find to thank God for. And I don't care what situation we're facing. I don't care what we've been through or what we'll face in the future. There's got to be something that we can find to give thanks to God for. You know, if nothing, it's for your salvation. You're not going to go to hell. I mean, that might not be important to you today, but I promise you there's a day coming that will be very important to you. And you need to thank God for that. If you're married, you need to thank God for your spouse and for your family. Yeah, and if you're not married, then thank God that you're not married. You don't have the troubles and right? So, thank God, you know. You know, thank God for your children. And if you're a child, then thank God for your parents. Because one day you won't have those parents. But thank God for the time you did have with those parents. There's always something, and we can see. We look at that glass half empty rather than the glass half full, and we need to learn there's always something. Thank God you have a job. Thank God you have an occupation. Thank God there's a roof over your head. There's food to eat. We are the most unthankful generation that I think's ever existed on this planet. We have more than any generation's ever had, but we're so thankless and unthankful. We're so focused on what we don't have that we forget to thank God for what we do have, and that is just wrong. Thanksgiving changes things. If you're having a bad situation, find something in that situation you can thank God for, and that situation will change. And parents, you need to thank God. You need to teach your children to thank God. I'll guarantee you, some of you, we've just gone through the Christmas season. I'll guarantee you, some of your children wasn't appreciative of what you gave them for Christmas. And they're already wanting something else. Why? Because that's what we're raising, is thankless and unthankful people. And that's a part of why this world is like this world is. And Jesus was only a while, just hours from being arrested. And he thanked God. And I'm wanting you to know that I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through, or what you will ever go through, you can find something to thank God for. And I think that's what he's doing. He's thanking God for these guys, these friends he has. He's thanking God for the life he's lived, for the experiences that he's had. There's always something to thank God for. So the first thing that you ever do when you have communion is thank God. Thank God. Take that bread. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Then the second thing, let's look at another aspect of that same verse. Now, verse 19, it says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Now, what I want you to see here is how special your bread is. I was pondering it. You know, they're sitting there, and he took the loaf and he broke it, and either he began passing it around either side, but he gave it them. And what I prefer to see is that he's breaking a piece off of the loaf, and he's given each one their piece, and that piece becomes so special to them. It's special. You're going to receive in a little while a wafer, just a piece of unleavened wafer. And I want you to see how special it is. You know, there's trillions and trillions of these wafers made, but one wafer found its way to you, into your hand. It's like it was divinely appointed for something. And it has a purpose. It has a destiny. And what I want you to begin to see is that your wafer is special because it is your connection. It is your plug-in to God. It's to bring you to a place in God that it's the connection point. It's going to bring you to a place of remembering. Let me read the next section here. Verse 19, and I'll finish the whole verse this time. And he took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you." And here's the last part. "Do this in remembrance of me." Their piece of bread brought them into a place. It was their connection. It was their plug. It was their point of contact to coming into a place of remembrance of him. What I will have you to do today as I lead you through communion is I'll have you remember him. Yeah, I remember the cross. Sure I do. But I remember so much more. How much do you know of Christ? How much can you remember? Some of us know a lot. There's a lot to remember. Some of us don't know a lot. But when you do, remember him. Remember him. See, I remember not only the cross, but I remember the Immaculate Conception when the angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to conceive. I know you're a virgin, but you're going to miraculously conceive. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you." I remember the baby being born in a manger and the shepherds coming and the magi coming to worship him. That's just a baby, but he's king. I remember the 12-year-old boy in the temple, astounding the PhDs with his knowledge and his ability to understand the Word of God. I image these things in my mind. I see these events happening. I remember him. How a child should be able to comprehend the Word of God. I see the 30-year-old man being baptized by John the Baptist. And I see the whole Trinity being there, you know, the Holy Spirit descending upon him and remaining like a dove. I hear the Father speaking out to the whole crowd, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And he brought us with that baptism, a baptism of fire in the Holy Spirit. I remember that. I see that happening. I remember his amazing teachings that changed my life and changed your life and has changed this world. Love and forgiveness. I remember that. I remember him, his compassion for people. I remember his love for people. He would walk up to a leper who was untouchable and touch him and heal them. He would open the eyes of the blind people. He would heal the lame people. He would minister to the crippled people. He would set free those that were held in bondages. These are the things he's done for us, for you and for me. I remember that. I remember his love and his compassion for people. Raising the dead, the widow woman who had a dead son. That's all she had. He saw her hurting and he saw her in mourning. And he raised her son from the dead because he loved her and so much. I remember his laughing and his enjoying of life with his friends and Mary and Martha and his guys, you know, and having a good time with life. But also, I also remember the other times. I remember the times when he grieved and he wept. You know, he comes to Lazarus' tomb, and Lazarus is dead, and Mary and Martha are weeping and crying. Jesus weeps with them. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I remember him riding down the hill in Olivet and heading, looking at Jerusalem and weeping over Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you together as a hen with her chicks, but you would not. Now all that's left for you is destruction. You've rejected me. I remember that. I see his compassion. I see him going into the temple. I remember him going into the temple and making a whip and cleansing that temple. He's upset. He's mad. God can get mad. I see him confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I see that. I see him having communion with his guys, with his closest of friends, saying, "This do in remembrance of me." I see him in Gethsemane sweating great drops of blood. I see him so stressed out because of what he's about to do for us. I see him arrested, mocked, ridiculed, scourged, dragging that cross through the downtown Jerusalem. I remember that. He's nailed to it. He's hung on it. I remember him dying. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You remember those things when you're doing this. This is your connection point. I remember him taking the spear and shoving it in his side, and out gushed blood and water. Taking him down, wrapping him in linen and burying him. I remember all that. But I also remember the resurrection. I remember the next Sunday. I remember that it all was for that. It all was for that. I remember that. And so what he says is when you do this, remember me. Remember what I've done for you. So the second thing that we want to do in communion is after we've given thanks, we want to take time and do it in remembrance. The piece of bread is not just a piece of bread. It's not just a piece of unleavened wafer. It's a connection point. It's a plug where you plug in to God and you plug in to remembering him. He says, do this in remembrance of me. I do something very personal when I do this. And I want to share it with you. I think it will help you understand some things. Every Sunday morning that I'm in town, which is most of them, I come here between 5:30 and 6 o'clock in the mornings. And the first thing that I do is I have communion. And I come out and I kneel right there on the kneeling altars. And I do what I give thanks. And I remember, like I just said. But then I also pray for my body. Personally, there's healing in his body. There's healing in his wounds. Let me show you this in Isaiah and in Peter. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 5, it says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions." Now, what I want you to see is that there was a reason, there was a purpose for him being pierced. It was for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. There was a purpose for his crushing. There was a for his crushing. The purpose for his crushing was for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. There was a purpose for his punishment. It was to bring us peace. Now watch this. "And by his wounds we are healed." What was the purpose of his wounds? To bring us healing. And Peter picks that up in 1 Peter 2:24. It says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds," now watch this part, "you have been," past tense, "healed." Wounds. There is healing in remembering. There's healing. This is the body. This is my body, he says. The wounds that were inflicted upon him bring us healing. That's the purpose for him. And so what I do is I begin to pray for myself. I begin with my mind and my brain. And I lay hands on my head and I'll say, and I pray for it. I pray for myself spiritually, mentally, and physically, emotionally. I pray for myself, and I'll pray. I'll speak to myself and to my brain, and my head, and physically. I'll say, "I have no aneurysms in the name of Jesus Christ. There are no tumors in my brain in the name of Jesus Christ." I'll pray for it neurologically. I'll pray. I do not have Parkinson's. I do not have Alzheimer's. I do not have dementia because see, my dad died of dementia. And he had Parkinson's. But in his wounds, I can be healed. I don't have to face that. I can break that curse. I can break it in his wounds. And so I speak that in the name of Jesus. I do not have those things. I move on in my body. I pray for my for my spinal column. I pray that I have no damaged disc, pinched nerves, ruptured disc, or no problems with my back. And I pray that for my posture to be upright. I don't want to be an old man doing this. Listen, I am older than a lot of you, and I can move way better than you can. And I believe that I don't have to be all bent over. I don't have to be sluggish. I can move. I can move like a young man. And so I pray that. I pray for my vision, my left eye and my right eye. My dad had cataracts. I don't want to have cataracts. I pray against cataracts. I do not have cataracts in the name of Jesus Christ. I do not have eye disease. I'll never have eye problems. I'll always be able to see well. I pray for my hearing, my left ear and my right ear. I pray for it. I don't want to have hearing difficulties. Now, Judy says I already do, but I don't want to be hard of hearing. And so I pray for my hearing. I'll never have the hearing difficulties in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for my sinuses. I don't want allergies. So I pray that my sinuses will be free and will drain well, and I won't have to suffer allergies. And I pray for my mouth. I do not have any disease in my mouth, and I have no cavities in my teeth. I pray for my larynx. It's important to me to have a good speaking voice, a voice that people can listen to. It's important. It's what I do. So I pray that I will have a good speaking voice, and I pray at that moment for my vocabulary. I want to speak well. I want a good vocabulary. I pray for my esophagus that there's no problems in there. There's no ulcerations going in there that's going to cause a blockage. I pray for my heart. I have no heart disease in the name of Jesus Christ. My blood pressure is not high in the name of Jesus Christ. My cholesterol is not high in the name of Jesus Christ. I have no blockages. I have no heart disease. I pray for my lungs, my left lobe and my right lobe. I lay hands on myself. And see, my mom died of fibrosis of the lungs. I don't want fibrosis. So I pray against it. I do not have fibrosis in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no cancer in my lungs in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for my stomach. I have no ulcerations in my stomach. There is no cancer in my stomach in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for my large intestines and my colon. See, the first time, it's been many years ago, but the first time I went to have a colonoscopy, I was a colon manufacturing plant. I'm telling you, I had 12 polyps. Now, if you don't know what a polyp is, it's a precancerous growth that happens. You see, my grandmother died of colon cancer. I had 12 of them things. The doctor freaked. He told Judy, he says, you got to watch. You got to make him watch this. This is serious. It was years ago. I had to go every year for several years until he settled that I wasn't going to have many polyps. Now I go every other year. I may have one, two, or three. But what I'm telling you is that you don't have to, you can be healed. There's healing. It's in the wounds of Jesus Christ. And you will encounter that. You'll plug into that when you're having communion. I pray for my kidneys. I've had kidney stones. And they are no fun. So I pray. There are no kidney stones in my kidneys. There are no tumors in my kidneys. There's no malignancies in my kidneys. My aunt died from a tumor that was malignant in her kidney. I don't have to do that. I pray for my pancreas. There's no pancreatic cancer in my body. I pray for my gallbladder. There is no stones or sludge in my gallbladder in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for my liver. There's no cirrhosis in my liver. There's no enlargement of the liver. I have no liver disease. I pray for my prostate. I pray that my prostate is not enlarged. I do not have cancer in my prostate. I pray that it's healthy. My PSA is low. I pray for my male organs. I pray for my joints. There is no arthritis in my body, no joint in my body. And in case, if I have any ache or pain, I'll pray for it immediately, right then while I'm doing this. And sometimes, before I stand up, it's gone. In case I've missed anything, I do that prayer. You know, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, there is no sickness in me from head to toe. I have been healed, as Peter said. Now, we can't do that as I lead you through it in a moment. But I want you to know, this is what I do. Every time I have communion, every time I have a time. Now, it's a little more difficult for you. You're here when everybody's here. I'm here alone, and I can say and speak those things and not feel any kind of embarrassment. But, you know, I was just thinking about it. When usually you would come to pray about these things here, and you don't have to be here. You can be at home. You can be in the woods. You can be in your car. You can do it anywhere. But that's the wonderful thing about the new covenant. You don't have to go to the temple to do with this stuff. You know, and you can come. But while they're singing a song, you can say stuff. You don't have to shout it. You can speak to your body. You got 5 or 6 minutes. That's plenty of time to do it. And just do that. And see, it's a connection point, what this is. This is your plug-in. It's not just a wafer. It's not just a piece of bread. It's unleavened. That's not what it is. He says, here, each of you, take a piece. It's your piece. It's a special piece because it's going to be your plug-in to the covenant of God. It's going to be what you're going to plug in. Do this in remembrance of me. He went on. And it says in verse 20, in the same way, so there's a connection between the bread and the cup, which he's about to speak up. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, this cup becomes a connection to the covenant. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Notice it's poured out. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't spilled. It was poured out on purpose for a purpose. And the purpose was to bring the new covenant. Just as the bread replaced the lamb, the cup and the juice, or the wine if you prefer, replaces the covenant. The blood that brought forth that covenant. And when I take it, when I drink the covenant, I am receiving His covenant. I am ingesting His covenant. It is becoming a part of me. I realize that I am now in covenant relationship with God. This cup connects me. I am in covenant with God, the Son, Father God, Son God, and the Holy Spirit God. I'm in covenant with them, and they're in covenant with me. And as I take it, as I drink it, as I receive it, I am saying, I'm realizing I have vowed to you that I'm in covenant with you and that I have responsibilities in my covenant. And I am going to do my very best to fulfill my end of the covenant. And I know that you will do exactly what you said you would do in your end of the covenant. I'm in covenant. It's like a marriage covenant. You make vows. There are things that we're all to do. And so as I drink this, as I ingest this, as I partake of this, I'm realizing I am in covenant with the God of the universe. And He's in covenant with me. I am His child. I am a son of God. It plugs you in. It brings you to the place. And it's in His blood. All the major sacrifices and covenants that were done, let me say that correctly, all the major covenants that were done in the Bible, always with blood. It goes all the way back to Noah. You remember when the ark settled and Noah got off, the first thing he did was make covenant with God. He took animals and he butchered them. He slaughtered them. He put beef everywhere. And there was all of these animals that he was slaughtering and making covenant with God. And God made covenant with Noah, the Noahic covenant. What is that covenant? It's that God says, I'll never do this again. I'll never destroy the earth again. I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky so you'll know I'm never going to do it again. It was done in blood. Blood covenant. Abrahamic covenant was the same thing. Abraham, God said, Abraham, I want to do a covenant with you. Take some beef and slaughter them up and split them apart. And he did. And the lamp came down and passed through the middle of them. He made covenant with Abraham. He says, Abraham, your seed is going to be as the stars of the sky. Your seed is going to be as the sand of the sea. We're a part of that covenant. And it was done with blood. It's a blood covenant. Davidic covenant was the same thing. David was always making covenants with God. He was always butchering animals and doing blood covenants with God. And God says, I'll make a covenant with you, David. As long as there's a throne, your seed will be upon it. And he is today, isn't he? Jesus Christ is out of the lineage and is the seed of David. He sits on the throne, and he always will. But in the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, in the old covenant, it was done with that lamb that I was talking about. And they were to take that lamb and the blood covenant smeared on the doorpost that initiated that covenant. And they renewed their covenant every year. One time a year, they got to get forgiveness for their sins. They came one time a year, had Passover, and then did the Day of Atonement where they could be forgiven of our sins, of their sins. It's not that way with us. Because our covenant is not in the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer. Our covenant is in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we have. And it's that that plugs you in to that covenant. It's amazing. They could only renew their covenant, only receive forgiveness for their sins once a year. It's not that way with us. It's whenever we want to. It's whenever you want to. One of the best things you can ever do when you mess up is go have communion. Renew your covenant with God. The Apostle Paul was ministering to the church at Corinth, and he wrote him a letter, and he was straightening them out on how they were doing communion. And they were overdoing it, making it into a big party and having wine and getting drunk and all those things. And so he straightens them out with it. And so he tells them this, and I want to read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verses 23 through 25. It says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We've talked about that. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this," not once a year. Do this when? Whenever you want to, whenever you drink it. You're not limited to once a year. You're not limited to one time a day. There's an unlimited amount of forgiveness. There's an unlimited amount of renewal of our covenant that we can have. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I want to read that same passage to us, of the last part of it, from the King James Version, because it uses a word that I like the way it says it. It says, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, as often as you want to, in remembrance of me.'" As I said earlier, in the book of Acts, we read about them going from house to house daily, breaking bread, having fellowship. They would go to one house and have communion, and then they'd go to another house and have communion, and then they'd go to another house. And that was what they did. When they got together, they remembered the Lord through communion. They ministered one to another. It's so sad to me how many Christians never renew the covenant, never understand the importance of it. Sometimes Christians will go their entire lives and never understand communion or never renew their covenant with God through communion. Don't be like that. When you take that bread, you remember him. You give thanks and you remember him and all he's done for you. When you take that cup, it plugs you in to the covenant. And you're able to realize you are in covenant with the God of the universe. And he's in covenant with you. When you do it, wherever you do it, as often as you do it, and it can be in your home or someone else's home. I think every family should have a personal time of communion with their own family. We did. I think that every church should have personal times like we're doing today. Wherever you do it, whenever that you do it, make it special. Don't just drink some juice, because that's all some people do. Don't just eat a wafer, because that's all some people do. Use it. It's your plug-in. It's your connection. It's your connection to plug into Jesus. It's your connection to find something to make you thankful. It's your connection to remember him and all he's done for you. It's a time where you can connect and you can pray for your own body and your own healing. It's a connection of covenant. You drink that covenant in. You partake of that covenant. You're vowing to God that you're going to do your part and your end of it, and he's going to do his part and his end of it. It's special. Make it special. Understand it when you're doing it. And I promise you, it's going to change your life. So with that said, let's partake of it. I want the praise team to be coming, and you can be playing the song. They'll be bringing you the elements. What I want you to do is just take them and hold them. And just start thinking about it. Start finding something to give thanks. I will remind you again as I lead you through it as soon as we're all served. Okay. Serve you. Lord, we thank you for this time. It's holy. It's sacred. Lord, we enter into it now with a little more understanding and a little more about what it means. So, Father, I pray for each one of us that we receive it as it's intended to be given and it's intended to be received. And the Lord took the bread and he said, thank you. He gave thanks. So what I want you to do is just take a few seconds and thank God. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your occupation. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your parents. But there's something that you can thank God for. I'm going to give you a few moments of uncomfortable silence and just let you find something to thank God for right now. So he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it them. It's a special piece of bread handed to you by Jesus. It's your connection point. A little thing you're holding in your hand, a little wafer. It's going to plug you into God right now. And he said, take it and eat it. He said, this is my body. You don't need a lamb. You don't need a goat. You need this. And I want you to plug into me, and I want you to remember me. So take a moment and just remember him. Remember what he sacrificed as you eat that, as you chew on it. Think of him. Lord, we do remember. Remember your sacrifice and all you did. Thank you for suffering for me, my family, my church. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray a prayer now for every single person here. I scan their bodies, their physical bodies, and I scan them for health. In the name of Jesus Christ, from head to toe, as Peter said, by your wounds, we are healed. We are healed. Every single person here, receive healing right now. It says, in like manner, he took the cup. The cup becomes a connection, a plug into the covenant. He says, take it and drink it. He says, this is the blood of the new covenant. And as you take it and as you partake of it, you're covenanting with God. And he's covenanting with you. You're making a vow that you're in covenant with him. Lord, we do. We covenant with you. Lord, I'm in covenant with you. Well, I know I'm going to mess up. I always do. But Lord, help me. Help me. And thank you for the opportunity of renewing my covenant. I don't have to wait a year. I don't have to wait till tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. I can renew it whenever I want to and as often as I want to. Lord, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that by your blood, I am forgiven. I am washed away from my sins and I am washed into the kingdom of God. And Lord, I know you're going to do your part of the covenant. We are in covenant with the God of the universe. Lord, I pray for every single one here. That, Lord, as we've talked today and we've experienced you today, that as in our calendar year, it comes to a conclusion. And this year is now behind us, that we enter into the next with more understanding, more enlightenment. But, Lord, mostly, I pray a blessing upon each one, that they'll have a great year. A prosperous year, a healthy year. That their dreams and their wishes come true. That everything that you promised them will happen. They'll have an abundant life. They'll be able to minister to their families and to their friends. and their relationship and their covenant with you. Lord, now bless us as we leave this place, as we go about our lives. Let us be your hands and your feet and your mouth. Let us minister to people. Let us be a blessing in your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. God bless you. Happy New Year. God bless.